Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. It's open lines for your questions and your comments. Now, it is the last hour of live open lines this week. It is Thursday. And that means if you want to call this week, if there's something you've heard on the program this week that you've been anxious to react to and didn't have an opportunity before today and this hour, this is your chance to call. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I would like to pick up on the conversation we were having just a few minutes ago with Charlton McElwain about the, not the coverage, but about the medium of television and the war, and extend that conversation a little bit with a couple questions. I'll have those for you in just a moment. Our phone numbers again are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We also had a conversation earlier today talking about the Jesus seminar, about what some people would insist is so-called biblical scholarship that has a very low view of Jesus in spite of the New Testament testimonies. You can react to that as well if you'd like to, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. All right. One of the things that Neil Postman, the fellow we had on in the last hour, Charlton McElwain, is an associate of Neil Postman, who has authored this book some time ago that is, I've said many times here on this program, is one of those books that after you read it, you never look at the world, you never watch television, you never read the newspaper the same way again. The book is called Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. It's been quoted by virtually everyone everywhere. Now, one of the things he points out about the television medium, the visual medium of television, is that it speeds everything up. It reduces everything to, as our guest in the previous hour said, time slots. Everything has to fit in with the time slot. Have you noticed this in the coverage of the war? How often they're just getting into a really decent conversation or interview about a certain aspect of the war, and then they say, sorry, our time is up, and they switch to something else. I'll tell you why that is. I can tell you why that is. The producers behind the scenes are yelling in the anchor's ear that this has gone on long enough. Come on, let's move on to another subject. We've got another guest waiting here. Our time is running out. The clock is God in broadcasting. It is. And those who defy the clock don't last long in broadcasting. It speeds everything up. We want everything now in 30 seconds. If the news brings us a soundbite that lasts more than 12 to 15 seconds, we think the person who was talking is really windy. Boy, my goodness, they had a lot to say. They talked for more than 15 seconds. 30 seconds, 15 seconds, if you can't give it to me in that amount of time, we say to ourselves, it's not worth hearing. And if it doesn't have pictures, it must not be true. Well, is this true? You know, I told you a couple weeks ago about this Episcopal church down in Texas, I believe. It's Texas. Where they were trying this new experimental kind of worship, but one of the main elements of this experimental worship was that the sermon was only 3 minutes long. Just 3 minutes of meditation, 3 minutes of thoughts and suggestions. Now, what about the whole service? People complain about sermon length. I preach a long time. If you were listening to this radio station Sunday morning, a couple weeks ago, you heard one of my sermons. 20 minutes is, I can do 20 minutes standing on my head. People complain about the length of sermons. What about the whole service? I was driving in the other day on Highway 40. I saw this billboard. Perhaps you've seen it as well. It says something to the effect of, God, when will this service be over? And then at the bottom of the billboard, it says, we've heard your prayers. And then it has the name of a local St. Louis church. And I wondered, what is it that they're advertising? It's not cheap to get a billboard on Highway 40 in St. Louis. What is it they're spending their money on here? Well, it seems to me they're telling me that they've got either a more exciting or perhaps more likely a shorter service than anyone else. When will this service be over? Well, if you come to our church, it'll be over before you know it. We've heard your prayers. When it comes to the worship service, what is the appropriate length of time? How long is too long? How short is too short for a worship service? If you have a thought on this, give us a call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The best caller during this hour will receive an absolutely free copy of a book called The Vanishing Word, The Veneration of Visual Imagery in the Postmodern World by Arthur Hunt III. It's a great new book. It goes alongside the book I mentioned before, Entertaining Ourselves or Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. It follows in that very same genre, The Vanishing Word. Our phone numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What's the appropriate length for a worship service? An hour? Hour and a half? 2 hours? Half hour? It also sparked another question for me, this conversation we just had with Dr. McElwain. And that is this. In our house, when we watch television, my wife is always very keenly aware of what's on TV when the kids are in the room. That's good. She's a good mother. If it's something that's scary or has the potential for being violent or bloody, like a lot of what you might see after 9 o'clock around here, she's very quick to say, honey, switch the channel. So the kids won't see it. The other night we watched American Idol. And after that, immediately after that, came, I think, a pretty interesting show called 24. But 24 has got bombs blowing up and people getting shot and a guy bleeding in the backseat of a cab. And I was reminded again, honey, switch the channel. Even my daughter's taken to do this when she notices something there. It's not appropriate for kids. I heard a story recently about a church locally that is offering an Easter service that's going to be kid-friendly because it skips the crucifixion and just goes straight to the resurrection. Kid-friendly because it doesn't include the crucifixion. Should we leave out the crucifixion when kids are going to be in the service? Should we not tell our kids the gory details? And they're gory. All you got to do is read the New Testament accounts of Jesus' passion, of our Savior's sacrifice. I was reading a little children's Bible that we got years back for the kids to carry into church. It's one of these little picture Bibles. Very little text, just lots of pictures. The only picture it had of the crucifixion was a long shot where you could see the crosses way off in the distance. There were some sad people standing around, but way up on a hill were three crosses. You couldn't make out any figures on the crosses. No close-ups in this children's Bible of the crucifixion. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Like coverage of the war or a violent or gruesome nighttime drama, is the crucifixion inappropriate for our children's eyes and ears? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Again, the best caller during this hour will receive the new book called The Vanishing Word by Arthur Hunt. We do plan on doing a three-part series with Dr. Hunt on this book in the future on issues, etc. Our phone number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Tina. She's calling from Webster Groves. Tina, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, how's life?
Well, I don't know how life is, but I'm doing fine.
Okay, good to hear. Hey, Todd, you were talking about how TV really does speed up things. I'm a nurse, as I say often, and ER, it's amazing how quickly they get results back. You know, the hard part of healthcare is waiting for results.
I'm laughing because I had my son, my dear little son, swallowed a quarter last year.
Uh-huh.
He was just playing. He didn't mean to, but he swallowed a quarter.
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't know what to do. I thought a nickel, that's not a problem. A dime, who cares?
Uh-huh.
You know, he could swallow all the pennies he wants, but a quarter is a little bigger.
Uh-huh.
So I took him to a local ER. It was nothing like the television show, Tina.
I know it's not. Well, there's a similarity, but
there was no staff. There was no running down the hospital hallways with a gurney. There were no good-looking doctors. There were no good-looking nurses.
Oh, you're right about that. You're
and
right.
We sat for hours and hours. Now, I will say they treated him very well, and in time, what should I say? This too passed, and all was well. It did take 3 weeks, by the way.
3 weeks.
And three doctor's visits. But in any event, it took forever. Now, you're saying that reality is not being reflected by the constraints of modern television drama?
I am. And I don't fall in love with doctors.
Oh, really?
No. Oh, and I do need to say one more thing about the news.
Yeah.
The news really does bother me a lot lately. So what I do is I watch the BBC, and I think does it come on at 10 o'clock on Channel 9.
And what's different about the BBC?
It's very different. It's almost a different war. But I try not to get mixed up with the American press, because it's highly politicized. And my opinion is that George Bush is a bully.
He's just a
schoolyard bully.
Well, that's because you've been watching that's because you've been watching the BBC. But let's get back to the point.
Okay.
The visuals, okay?
Okay.
Because one of my biggest criticisms is not the politicization of American television, mm-hmm. but the fact that we've just got, it is not just a visually driven medium, it is where the only priority seems to be visuals. Uh-huh. Is the BBC and its television coverage less driven by the visuals, you think, than American television?
No, they're real active with the BBC. They're very active. They show a lot. They probably show more than American TV does.
All right, before I let
more
you
blood and guts.
Before I let you go, what's the appropriate length for a worship service?
For me? Oh, well, it depends. It depends. A regular Sunday service, I think it should have a beginning, middle, and an end. And I think the congregation really should decide that. But I think on high holy days, I have to make that appropriate. I really think that it really should be up to about 2 hours for me, because I think it's appropriate to get all of it in, all of the worship in, and in its appropriateness.
So,
you know what I mean by that?
So you're saying that on special days, your appropriate length of a service is going to expand out to as much as 2 hours.
2 hours, yes. Although it's usually about an hour and 15 minutes.
Tina, thank you very much for your phone call. What about the rest of you? What's an appropriate length for a worship service? There's a local church here in St. Louis with a big billboard out on Highway 40 saying they've heard your prayers for a shorter service, and they're willing to deliver it. I don't know how short it's going to be. They don't say. But it simply says, God, when will this service be over? We've heard your prayers, and they give an advertisement for the church. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It is open lines, issues, etc. Anything you want to talk about, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What do you make of this local church? Not the same local church, but another local church in their Easter service, making it quote-unquote kid-friendly by skipping over the crucifixion and going straight to the resurrection and the road to Emmaus. I was telling you some time back, and I mentioned this before, that Episcopal church that shortened its sermon to 3 minutes. In fact, the pastor said that sometimes he has a 3-minute sermon prepared, but when he sees the dance number that comes before his sermon, he just throws that to the wind and reacts emotionally to the dance. But he does it for 3 minutes. Now, 3 minutes is about the length of a commercial break on television. That's about the length of an average commercial break. You can get 6 30 seconds in there and maybe station identification. What is the appropriate length of a Christian worship service? Roger's calling from his car. Roger, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you. Last year on Palm Sunday, I was in Minneapolis, and I went to a congregation there, and I'd seen their posted service times, and they had a communion service at 7:45 and then a worship service at 8, 9 and on the hour. And so I went for the 8 o'clock, and I asked someone, I said, now where do you have the communion service? Is it someplace else? And they said, no, it was right here. And it literally, it was about a 10 or 15 minute communion worship service. So I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
10 or 15 minutes, was it a large congregation?
It was a huge one. It was one where they had not had a building program, but they probably should have had a building program 10 years ago. Because literally they had probably 5 services in the morning. And every service was, if you have a service at 8 and then you got another one at 9, you've got a 50-minute service there, and they had people waiting to come in before the others were leaving.
You know, I was driving past a big church in my neighborhood, and I noticed that it's advertising coming up in mid-April an offering of 2 services. But they're also on the hour. They're like 9 and 10. This is a big church. And I thought to myself, how are they going to get all those people in a service, through the service, and out, and another group of people in if they're really going to stay on their schedule, from 9 until 10. Maybe that's how they're doing it. They're just shortening the service. Roger, what's an appropriate length, as far as you're concerned, for a Christian worship service?
I'd say anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half.
So you're willing to go out to 90 minutes?
Sure.
Do you have
willing to go longer because I've attended churches that are longer. Churches of other, in cultures different than mine, in denominations different than mine. And, you know, as long as the worship is meaningful, I don't necessarily notice how long I'm there. And before you know it, you're there 2 or 2.5 hours.
Roger, thank you for the call. You know, I was thinking about this. While everything in television seems to be getting shorter and everything on Sunday morning seems to be getting shorter, if you go by the big hit movies, think about this. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and the other Harry Potter movie. Long movies, and they were aimed at kids. Long movies. The Star Wars movies, long movies. The Lord of the Rings movies, really long movies. The most popular movie in all of movie history, and recently, Titanic. Remember how long that thing was? What was it, 4, 12 hours, something like that? It was unbelievable. And people sat through it. I knew someone who sat through it over 10 times. Do worship services need to be shorter, or do they need to be a little more lengthy? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Mary's calling from Clayton. Mary, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I was just going to say, I've got a 3-year-old son, and he just can't wait for Good Friday. He's just very excited about everything that happened on Good Friday. And then, of course, there's Easter that he's excited about, too. But, you know, other people are saying, you know, I bet you can't wait till Easter. And he says, well, first there's Good Friday. And he knows exactly what happened on Good Friday. And, you know, we've got books where they've got up-close pictures of the crucifixion. And he's really not disturbed by it because he understands what's going on.
And how old is he?
He's 3.5.
So what do you make of this church I told you about trying to be kid-friendly for its Easter service by skipping the crucifixion and going straight to the resurrection?
I think it's kind of unfortunate because I think kids are perfectly capable of taking in the whole story. On the other hand, I think about how my son reacts to television. You know, we see the war coverage and the tanks rolling through Baghdad, and he said, Mommy, those tanks hurt people. I want to turn this off. And I said, go ahead. But as far as the crucifixion story, you know, because we're not seeing it on television, I think that would be very disturbing to him. But he can handle the pictures and the stories.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Sure.
Linda's calling from her car. Linda, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. The church that I go to just recently hosted the silent movie King of Kings, and it is a silent movie where they do the last week of Christ's life, and it went through the crucifixion. We had an organist performing the music to the silent movie, and he could make the hammer hitting the nails. And it was amazing how the children that were there thought that was the highlight of the movie. As far as how long a worship service should be, 1.5 to 2 hours would be a minimum.
A minimum?
A minimum.
So you're not going to set those as outward boundaries. You're setting those as the inner boundaries of the worship service.
Yes.
Do you think the kids...
When the Spirit moves, you shouldn't put a time constraint on the Holy Spirit.
Linda, do you think the kids were frightened at all by the pictures and the attendant sound with that silent movie you talked about?
No. And that I got from the kids that were there. We had 8-year-olds there. We had 3-year-olds there. They all thought it was the coolest thing they'd ever seen.
Thank you very much for the call, Linda.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering what would move a congregation to say, look, we want our services to be kid-friendly, and we're at a sensitive time in the church year, and we don't do that Lent thing, but you can hardly skip Easter. And I guess before you get to Easter, you gotta go through the crucifixion in some form or another. But for the Easter service, let's skip that and just go straight to Jesus rising from the dead and the road to Emmaus and make it kid-friendly. What do you make of that, folks? Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Mary's calling from her car. Mary, welcome to Issues Etc. Mary?
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. You know, I consider myself very fortunate that I go to a large enough church. We have special services for the kids, for small kids on up to the teens. So their services are geared to...
Oh, it's a shame we lost Mary. I think she was going to go on to say something along the lines of, they're geared... Are you still there, Mary? No, she's in and out. Mary, thank you for the call. And if you can call back, we'll get the rest of your comment there. Now, that would raise another question here, okay? What if the church said, look, for the adults, we'll have the crucifixion, and we'll just give it to us as the Word of God gives it to us. For the teens, a PG-13 version, maybe PG. And for the little ones, G. Jesus, well, we won't show Jesus on the cross, no blood. Or maybe we'll just do the whole thing from a distance, like that little child's Bible I was telling you about. Just the whole thing from a distance so that none of the details arise. Although, you know, folks, if you read the end of your Gospels, unless you close your Bible at that point, there are a lot of details there. They're very uncomfortable details. They're as gruesome as anything you might see on television after 9 o'clock. They're definitely not PG. Is the answer to, say, send your kids to the nursery or revamp the service so that there's nothing of those nasty details of the crucifixion for your kids to see? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Mindy's calling from her car. Mindy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi, Mindy.
Hi. Last night at our Lenten service, we were talking about Jesus' trial in front of Pilate and when he was flogged. My 9-year-old was sitting next to me, and the description was pretty graphic. And after the service, he said to me, Jesus went through that? And I said, yes, he did. I said, do you see how much he loved us? And he understood it a little better, I think, not being shielded from it, not glossing it over.
Mindy, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Would you shield your children from this? I mean, if you present the PG-13 or the PG version or the G version of the crucifixion, what are you robbing your children of? Or let's just say you go to that church where they leave the crucifixion out altogether because it is deemed inappropriate for children. Who knows? It's probably a congregation that believes kids don't need Jesus anyway. They're innocent. If they don't need Jesus, what do they need him on the cross for? So let's just go to that. Well, for that matter, why not just leave out the resurrection? Because they don't need Jesus at all if they're innocent. They got a ticket straight to heaven. However, on the other hand, if they are, as Scripture seems to indicate, as much in need of Jesus and him crucified as the rest of us rotten sinners, how can we shield them from this? We'll talk about it more after this break. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ historically reliable? And what can we learn about this miraculous event from extra-biblical sources? You'll find answers to these questions with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, the very first Easter. The book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, and click the What's New section, issuesetc.org. The Very First Easter is written by Dr. Paul Meyer, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University. It's a great Easter gift for your children or your grandchildren. The book costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Very First Easter, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040.
School violence and an old earth.
Answers with Ken Ham, a well-known speaker on the Book of Genesis. Well, Ken, what could believing in an old earth have to do with the rampant school violence today?
I'm sure most people would be surprised if I say that believing in millions of years for the Earth's age has a connection to school violence. But you know, it really does. When someone believes in millions of years, then they've no option but to accept that the fossil record is millions of years old. Now, the fossil record is a record of death, violence, bloodshed, disease and suffering. It's actually a horrible record. So think about it. When children are taught in schools that these fossil deposits all over the earth are the record of the history of the evolutionary of life over millions of years, then students are in essence being told that violence, bloodshed, disease, death and suffering are a normal part of the process of evolution. If this is so, should we then be surprised if more and more students apply this belief consistently in their lives? After all, if the violence of the fossil record is a necessary part of life on this planet, then why shouldn't people use violence anytime they want if they can get away with it? Our students need to be taught that death and violence are an intrusion because of sin.
Was there death before Adam came on the scene? Ken Ham has a fascinating free booklet that looks at the true age of the earth, and it's available free on our website, answersradio.com. Read the booklet right on your computer screen or print it out.
Good evening, I'm Tony Hicks with AM 850 KFUO weather and traffic. Tonight's weather clear with an overnight low of 37. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 70. Right now it is sunny and 62 degrees. And a look at traffic. Highway 67 at Lindsay Lane. We have an accident there and it's got traffic jammed all the way back to 270. Chesterfield Airport Road at Long Road, we have an accident there blocking traffic. And northbound Kings Highway at Chippewa, the right lane is closed, and that's due to a water main break. You're advised to use caution if you're headed in that direction. That's a look at weather and traffic on AM 850 KFUO. Just ahead, the last half hour of Issues Etc. with host Todd Wilkin as he takes your questions and comments on Open Line.
Bach at the Sem, a series of sacred concerts by the American Contrari under the direction of Robert Barrett, will offer a two-part presentation of J.S. Bach's Passion According to St. Matthew. The first part will be offered on April 13th and the second part on April 15th, both at 7 p.m. Both sacred concerts will take place at Concordia Seminary's Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus. For more information, call Concordia Seminary.
Sunday on Issues Etc., Dr. Norman Nagel of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis joins us here in Studio A. We're going to be talking about the Passion of Jesus Christ, and the outline we'll be following are the seven words of Jesus from the cross. We'll see what Dr. Norman Nagel has to say about that live Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. Now, if you have a question or a comment in advance of Sunday night's program, and you would like to post it for Dr. Nagel as we talk about the Passion of Jesus Christ, here's how you do that. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and there you're going to find a link to our Issues Etc. forum. You can post a question or a comment in advance of the Sunday night's program, and we will do our best to get that question in during our conversation with Dr. Nagel. It's Open Lines, Issues Etc. I've got two questions sitting on the table, and people are responding here and there to both of them. The first one has to do with that billboard I saw. And both of these stem from the conversation we had in the last hour with Dr. McElwain about the medium of television, the war with Iraq, and reality TV. Everything sped up so fast. We want everything in sound bites, our sermons in sound bites, our hymn singing in sound bites, repeated over and over again. And our services in sound bites. What's the appropriate length of a worship service? What do you think? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And the other question stemming from that conversation has to do with, well, if you turn off the television during the war coverage because it might be too gruesome for your kids, what about in church? Do you put your hands over your children's ears when the pastor gets to the part about the blood, the flogging, the nails in his hands and feet, the crown of thorns, the cries of agony? Or do you think kids need to see this? I talked about a church in this area that is skipping over the crucifixion this year, and they advertise this as a kid-friendly Easter service, just going straight to the resurrection. Now, the best caller in this hour is going to get a great new book called The Vanishing Word, The Veneration of Visual Imagery in the Postmodern World by Arthur Hunt. It will also be the subject of a multi-part series we'll do with Dr. Hunt in the future on issues, etc. Our phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Carol is calling from South County. Carol, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues, etc.
Pastor Todd, I want to thank you for the wonderful job that you do. And I wanted to mention I was born and raised Catholic and couldn't find God in the Catholic Church, and I go to a Lutheran church, Missouri Synod Church. I do not understand why we don't have communion at every service, and also I don't know why the service doesn't last longer. I think an hour and a half should be the minimum, and that's my opinion.
Well, let me inquire about a few things before I answer your first question. And please don't tell me where you go to church. Just, it's better to keep these things anonymous. Does the church that you go to, does it have just one Sunday service?
No, it has two.
Okay. Do you know whether or not it offers the Lord's Supper in kind of alternating, maybe early service one Sunday, late service the next Sunday?
Exactly.
That's how it does. And you're wondering why it doesn't have the Lord's Supper in every single service every single Sunday?
Yes.
And is this something that you want?
Oh, absolutely.
Why is that?
Because it's so meaningful.
Well, let's see if I can get an answer to your question. I don't know why. I know what's happening among the circle of Lutherans with which I'm associated. I know that the tendency, at least in the denomination I belong to, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is to go more and more toward the old practice, which is to have communion on every Sunday. In fact, just for the sake of those who might be interested, there have been a number of resolutions in the actual official national convention of that church body to encourage, nothing's mandatory, but to encourage congregations to move back toward that practice where appropriate of having communion every Sunday. It is the historic practice of the church, and it's the historic practice of the Lutheran church as well. I don't know why we don't anymore. That's a question for people who've studied the history in a little more detail. But I would point out that the arrangement that you have there at your congregation, Carol, is pretty typical, but it is communion every Sunday. It is not communion at every service every Sunday, but it is communion every Sunday. In other words, if you wished to, you could alternate your worship times in order to receive the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And that would be, I think, a great place to start. But also to talk to your pastor and the other leaders of the church and to bring up the question, ask the same question of them that you asked of me, why, and encourage them to think about it. Now, why did the church do this? It is because this is the example given us in Scripture, that as often as Christians gather together, they gather together around, and this is Acts 2:42-43, somewhere in that neighborhood, they gathered together around the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper, that was their term for it, the breaking of bread, and the prayers, that is, the formal worship of the church. As often as they were gathered, this was what they were doing. They considered the Lord's Supper as an integral part of Christian worship. Now, somewhere along the line, it became an optional part. And I think your concern there that you have expressed is a right one, and that is, no matter how often a church offers the Lord's Supper, it should never be viewed or portrayed as something optional. It's always necessary for the church to have the sacraments rightly administered in its midst. The frequency is a matter that Scripture leaves open for Christians to exercise according to their freedom. As long as the Lord's Supper is not either portrayed or taught as something optional. But there are a growing number of Lutheran churches, just to get to the back to the first part of your question, a growing number of Lutheran churches that are offering the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Now, why are they doing this? Are they doing this just because they're hot on the Lord's Supper? Or they're crazy for communion? No, they're doing this because of the benefits of the Lord's Supper. And the benefits are right there in Christ's words. It's my body given for you for the forgiveness of sins, my blood shed for you. Therein we find, according to Christ's words, precisely what sinners need, and that is the forgiveness of our sins, communion with Christ and with one another. Can there be anything that a Christian needs more, or, although we never desire it as we ought to, desires more? Our phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Scott's calling from his car. Scott, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor. Great show. Just a comment from your last caller. I would agree. I would love to take communion every Sunday, every time we get together. I think it would be a real blessing. But as far, I'd like to answer both your questions. As far as the length of the church service, I go to church who we have an early service, which is more the traditional service, if you will, followed by the coffee and donuts, and then Sunday school, and then a more contemporary service later on. And I actually had a conversation with our pastor a while back about, you know, when he goes, well, you might say a little long in the service, that some of the liturgy and some of that element of the traditional service was cut out for the sake of, you know, that we all got our coffee and donuts and got to Sunday school on time. And I think the length of the service is, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit lays on the pastor's heart. And if we're running over time and maybe we don't get our coffee and donuts one Sunday, that's just how it is. Your comments?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Scott. I kind of like the way you think. This is interesting because there is a tendency, you know, there are so many hours in a day. Sunday's no different. Sunday isn't a 25-hour or 26-hour day. It's a 24-hour day, just like every other day. And there are only so many days in which people will realistically come to church. And so then we start saying, okay, we've got a general parameter here. Let's say we've got half the day to deal with as the big chunk of time. How are we going to divide it up if we need to have four services in a half a day? Well, on the one hand, we have comments, and two callers have already said this, as long as the Holy Spirit makes the service last. That is balanced, of course, against what people call practical concerns of getting people in and out and getting people off to where they need to be and what people will put up with. I'll save some of my thoughts on this until the end of the hour here. That's coming up in just a few minutes. I want to take a few more phone calls before I do that, though. Let's go next to Joe, who's calling from his car. Joe, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Todd.
Hi, Joe.
You've seen the surveys where they say, what, 60% of or 70% of Lutherans believe that their good works contribute to their getting to heaven and things like that. I don't know if those are the exact numbers, but you know what surveys I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know which ones, yeah.
I wonder if most Lutherans wouldn't see the Lord's Supper, whether it's every Sunday or not, is just another thing that they do or are supposed to do, as opposed to deriving the intended benefit from it, which would be the forgiveness of sins, or as Ken had said, that tangible reminder that God has given us because of the weakness of our flesh.
Well, I think you've struck upon something there, Joe, and that is that if we view the Lord's Supper as primarily something we do, then it is the law. And if the Lord's Supper is something that God does, then it is, in broad terms, the gospel. Now, if it's viewed as the law, if people are indeed viewing it as a work that we do, then what will their reaction be to it? You know what their reaction ought to be? If the Lord's Supper is indeed something we do, boy, they better be taking it every day. I mean, if it's something that we do to please God, you better be taking the Lord's Supper 3-4 times a day. You want God to be happy. But that's not the reaction of natural sinful men to words of law. We avoid them. When we hear the law, what does it do? It increases trespass and increases disobedience. So if people are viewing the Lord's Supper as law, it's no wonder that they say, why do I need that? Or I did that last month. I fulfilled my quota. I've got that check mark on my list checked off. However, on the other hand, you're right, Joe, if it is in fact the gospel, the tangible gospel, Christ giving us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins won at the cross, then how often can you receive that? How much of that is too much? You can never get too much. But it's an altogether different reason for wanting it often, not to please God, but because God has been pleased in Christ to reconcile you to himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. Good call, Joe. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Pauline is calling from Columbia, Illinois, over in my neck of the woods. Hi, Pauline.
Hello. I just wanted to give you a comment. I do think that it is important for children to see the crucifixion of Jesus. My daughter and I have a resurrection eggs. I'm sure you're familiar with those, and she loves to go through those and open the eggs and read through the Gospels as we go step by step through Jesus' last week and his death on the cross. And
it's like an Advent calendar where you kind of every day you do a little more of the story.
No, they're the resurrection eggs where you actually open the eggs and there might be a little crown of thorns in there, or the nails, or the coins, and it's just a really good visual for them to go through.
Sure.
And we have a children's Bible that does show the crucifixion of Jesus, and she's very interested. She's 4 and a half, and she's very interested by that, and she, I can tell that she's trying to process visually what she sees and asks a lot of questions, and I don't think she's afraid by it. I think she's very grateful for what he did. And I also wanted to comment on the length of services in church. I think it's, I kind of feel like the other callers in retrospect that I don't think you should really, I understand that you have to set a time, but I think that it's great to be an hour and a half or 2 hours or however. I mean, I've walked out of some church services and it's been an hour and 40 minutes and I thought, gosh, I didn't even realize that much time had gone by. And I just think that, you know, I very much look forward to sermons and praising and the whole order of worship. And, you know, I don't feel like I've really been to church, I think, if it's just 50 minutes. I mean, myself personally, so.
Pauline, thank you for the call.
And Pastor Wilkins?
Yeah.
Also, I can also remember when I was about 9 or 10 years old, I was complaining to my father about going to church, and it was just an hour service, and I was really, you know, giving him the whining and complaining, and he got down on my level, and he said, you know, Jesus died for you. If that's all you can do is just give 1 hour a week of your time to listen, you know, to the word of the Lord, then I don't think you should act like that. And, you know, that really, I really felt bad. I mean, I really thought about it, and I never complained again, you know. So,
Pauline, thank you very much.
Okay.
My kids are at that age where the length of the service is starting to make them boneless. You've ever seen boneless kids? It happens to them when they start getting bored. They are no longer able to sit in chairs. All the bones in their body turn into jelly, and they start to just slide out of chairs like they're made out of Play-Doh or something. Like they're just made out of Jell-O. And they can't sit up, and my daughter, they're piping something into the church on Sunday morning to which adults are immune, but all the kids get real sleepy and their heads start wagging all over. And it affects the littler ones by making them real ornery. I don't know, maybe that's what's happening. But they're starting to get to the age where the length of the service, and we don't have long services, by the way, it's chop-chop at the church we go to, you know, an hour maximum. And if it runs over a little bit, then occasionally, but not very often. An hour seems like an eternity, except when they're sitting watching SpongeBob SquarePants. An hour seems like an eternity, except when they're at Six Flags. An hour seems like an eternity, except when they're so sleepy in the morning that they just can't get up. I remember what it was like to be a kid. I was exactly the same way. But, you know, That's a child. It's sad to say that some adults never outgrow that. Norma's calling from Olivet. Norma, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, God bless you, Todd. I just wanted to comment in reference to the children seeing or hearing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. in St. Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." And so I believe that at any age a child can hear and see about Jesus being crucified. I think it's very important.
Norma, that is marvelous. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye, hon.
Jeff is calling from his car. Jeff, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor Todd.
Hi, Jeff.
The comment that I wanted to make was, I think, is in concerning the length of worship, I think really it's a condition of the heart and the content that's going to be in the service. For example, as Christians now in a society like we have here, we have the opportunity of being able to worship Him in any length of time that we want. Because of being a Christian, if we were in a time of persecution and we were being hounded for our faith, that time, even though it may be shorter, we would get everything out of it. We would praise Him, we'd worship Him, we'd fellowship, we'd have the sacraments administered, and the word would be proclaimed. But I think for the unbeliever, nothing is going to be short enough that's in the church pews, because the issue is not the length, it's the content. That's what they want to rob of the church, and they want to turn it into anything other than what it is. Jesus Christ dying for us, and by His blood alone and by His work alone, our sins being forgiven us, and we be granted eternal life. And that's all.
Jeff, thank you. You know, it puts me in mind of a passage from one of Paul's letters to the Corinthians, where he says, to the Greek, it's foolishness. And who wants to put up with foolishness? How long can you listen to foolishness? And to the Jew, it is weakness. Who wants to tolerate weakness for a whole hour on Sunday morning? But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. You can't get enough of it. Let's take a couple more phone calls as our time winds down. I hope we're able to get everybody in. Herman is calling from Illinois. Herman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. On the subject of communion, I know a number of church bodies, including yours, have passed these resolutions to try to increase the frequency of communion. And as far as the central motive, according to Lutheran doctrine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you, that certainly don't dispute that. I think that it comes down, as Don Matt said, who used to host this show, it was getting concerned about that, with the emphasis on that, is there a sense of presence, either in hearing the Word of God preached or read, and the presence of receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ in with an under bread and wine, the sense of presence of the quality of that, as opposed, as he was commenting, that some of the church services are getting speeding up communion and everything, cutting back this and that just to get it through because of the time pressure. Plus, many Lutheran churches in their constitution have to keep a record of who goes to communion, and that means some layperson is going close to drown in communion card records, the little square cards you fill out, and because that's a constitutional requirement to identify membership. And I don't want to take away from the meaning of the Lord's Supper, but I think that there are still situations where you can err on the side of infrequency or err on the side of frequency as well. And I think there needs to be a balance of a sense of presence there as the, let's say, the optimum view.
Herman, thank you for the call. And, you know, for all practicality, that's about where most congregations end up landing on this. They really do. That's where most of them do. They end up saying, what is workable for the whole body of the congregation here? What is workable? Always bear in mind, as Herman was right to point out, that it is always needful, that the Lord's Supper is always needful when it comes to the frequency of the Lord's Supper. Now, before we end here, I've got a few housekeeping details to take care of, and I apologize to those who have been left on the line there. It just works out that way sometimes during open lines. The book has got to go. I think the book is going to go to Norma. She had the simplest response to this question regarding the children and the crucifixion, whether or not the crucifixion is kid-friendly. It's not just kid-friendly, it's sinner-friendly. It's the friendliest thing that God ever did for sinners, young and old alike, putting His Son on a cross. Norma, if you would call back, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jeff will get your address. We'll send you a free copy of this book called The Vanishing Word, The Veneration of Visual Imagery in the Postmodern World by Arthur Hunt. And the rest of you, please listen in the future to the program when we put together a multi-part series with Arthur Hunt on that book itself. It won't be the last time you're hearing about it. Look, if kids don't need the crucifixion, if the crucifixion is optional for our children, or if it's too gruesome for our children, now, there are ways that a person could depict the crucifixion that would be over the top, more than the Gospels portray, just for the sake of shock, just for the sake of gore. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the truth of the event, how it really happened, what really happened to our Savior there at the cross and his suffering beforehand. Our kids need this. It's kid-friendly. It is not easy to swallow. It's not easy to look at. It's not even easy for adults to look at. If we're honest about it, we gloss over this so much. We make it so pretty. We gild it so much often that we take away the horror of the crucifixion, the horror of the sinless Son of God, the tragedy of the sinless Son of God bearing the sins of the world, needing of all things to die for the sins of all, to shed his blood and give his life. But it's something that every sinner needs, young and old alike. They need to hear it, they need to see it, they need to know about it. You know, if you're going to take the crucifixion out of your service on Sunday to make a kid-friendly Easter service, you might as well just leave it out every Sunday. If the kids don't need it, then they don't need a resurrected Jesus either. Why talk about the resurrection? Why, they don't need Jesus at all if they don't need Christ and him crucified. That's the reason he came, folks, for sinners just like us. In answer to the question, and again, this will have to simply function as my opinion because there's no binding word of God here, how long is this service going to last? I would give the answer given by our president when asked the same question about the war. How many times has he been asked, Mr. President, how long is this war going to last? What has he answered every time? As long as it takes. We're not going to edit it for length. We're not going to make it longer than it needs to be by sticking in a bunch of superfluous and nonsense stuff. We're not going to waste your time. There's no time to be wasted on Sunday morning. We need to get straight to Jesus Christ and him crucified, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, and we can spend as long as we need with that. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.